Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 29th of September, and I'm recording at 9:32 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Okay, well, we still have a nervous overall environment here as far as stock markets are concerned. And just running through, starting with the Asia-Pacific region, Japan was a firmer exception and helped again by the currency change, because the yen has slipped to 109.46 against the U.S. dollar, and that's of course what the Japanese want. And so we had a little bit of a gain, 0.5% gain really on average across the Japanese indices. Now, moving on to China. The Shanghai Composite A shares remained firm. They were up 10 points to 23.57 and change. That was up nearly 0.5%. But Hong Kong was clobbered again by the protests over the weekend and here today, and was down 1.9%. So a sharp drop, and actually this with this day's to today's decline, we're into the fourth consecutive week of Hong Kong reacting quite sharply. That's brought the Hang Seng Index back to 23,229. It's also improved the valuations, which are really quite attractive, and more attractive than what we see for the Shanghai Composite Index, and they're pretty good as well. And now, I've written this up here today, so it'll be posted a little later on. I have to say, while I like China in terms of its valuations and its overall GDP growth potential, I really have to hold my nose from time to time regarding the actual politics that are coming from the mainland. And Mr. Xi is going to, or clearly feels that he has to be a tough guy, not only in terms of reining in corruption and all the excesses that we have seen in China's economy, but also against these rather modest democracy moves on the part of the Hong Kong Chinese, who would like to elect their own representatives and not have them imposed on them by Beijing. Well, little chance of that, unfortunately. And I think mainland China, is scared to death that if they were to give any ground with Hong Kong, and word got out, as it inevitably would over time and within China, that you'd get a lot of calls for more democracy in China, which is the last thing that the communist regime actually wants. So the politics can be tricky, but at least it's a capitalistic economic model, and China presumably then shows every indication that it wants to be an active participant in the global economy overall. So I remain invested there, and I remain quite optimistic on it. But as I say, the politics upset me from time to time. Now, what else is going on? We saw most of the others. Let's see, India down just a tiny bit in here today. And Australia lower by a little under 1%. They were mostly easier. So if I mention the ones that moved up, and they're very small gains, but Malaysia and Indonesia and New Zealand all had, as I say, tiny gains in here. Europe fared less well. Weaker pretty much across the boards. The exception here, let's see, looks like Switzerland, but that was up only the tiniest of fractions. And if I can just bring up KFX, and that is That is Denmark, which has normally been, well, has usually been so much stronger, been an upside leader for such a long time, and Denmark's down here today, not all that much. But so a very soft day here for Europe overall, and this is partly Russia concerns, and those extend to the sanction concerns, of course. And they have enough troubles of their own anyway. Leader to the downside here today, well, it was Spain this time, down 1.5%, but the Euro Stoxx Index is also down 1%. So I think again we see people voting with their feet here. There are uncertainties, and along with the original concerns about Europe's economic activity and being so big, so flat, and so it's clearly an underperforming region here right now, and unfortunately likely to remain so for a while longer. Now, looking at the Americas. The bigger move here, and this is an eyebrow raiser, is that Brazil fell a whopping 4.52%. Now, why might that be? Well, you can probably guess if you've been following these audios. Rousseff is now leading clearly in the election stakes, and would even allowing for, well, on the basis of today's poll, even allowing for little polling errors, she would beat Silva in the runoff, which is coming up shortly. Now, this market, I think, as far as international investors are concerned, is all about who actually governs. Governance is everything. It's something that I say, and Owen says often here at this service, and it's so true. So if Rousseff is re-elected, Brazil's really going to be relatively friendless for perhaps quite some time in terms of investor support. Now, what about Wall Street here today? Well, it was considerably weaker earlier on relative to its close. It closed with declines of 0.25% on the Dow and also the S&P 500 index. The NASDAQ composite saw lesser decline. Which is mildly encouraging in terms of overall sentiment. And the Russell 2000, remember, that's the canary in the coal mine. Well, it's still singing, albeit maybe a bit more faintly. And the Russell 2000 was down slightly and closed at 1117. Now, that's only 17 points away, of course, from that 1100 level, and it's just a little below that 1100 level that we see some important previous lows. Right now, the Russell 2000 has just paused here for the last few days near the early August low, and it's had a short-term oversold condition on it, but that's going to gradually fade away. So this again, this really is the key. If we get a clear breakdown below that 11,000 that takes out the other previous lows, I think that's going to be more evidence that Wall Street it would definitely be more evidence that Wall Street was heading for a bigger overall reaction and quite possibly the long absent 10% plus correction. And if that doesn't occur, as I've said before, if that doesn't occur between now and the end of October, then I think we could attribute that to one factor and one factor alone, and that's the still very positive monetary conditions that we're seeing from the United States despite the ending of QE. In other words, Janet Yellen's going to keep those short-term interest rates very low. Probably well beyond the end of the year. Although, and I'll put it this way, it would take some sharp improvement in the actual GDP figures, which show only a modest, somewhat choppy in the sense of three steps forward, two steps back, economic recovery. And somewhat better in terms of employment, but below what the Fed would actually hope for, and also the quality of those jobs is clearly something less than the Fed would actually hope for, and still a lot of part-time employees overall in the U.S. economy. But again, that favorable background in terms of monetary policy is really the main factor here that's still holding this market up. How much longer can it do it for? Well, we're going to find out, but I feel that the market is riskier here right now. No problems from the bond market at the moment. The US 10-year slipped down to 2.48%. Again, we need to be cautious here in the U.S. market overall, and just to repeat my advice of last week, I would favor high covered yields shares. They would offer protection against some protection against the downside and fall less than some of the very in fashion tech shares that are still hitting new highs or very close to it. I think those would be more badly affected in a bigger correction. I don't see a bear market developing at this stage, and there's one reason for that, and that's monetary policy. Okay, what about other factors in here right now? Crude oil, the Brent was 20 cents higher here at 97 dollars and 20 cents. That's still a very good price for Brent. It's just lost downside momentum here, but of course is well off that. Remember that 115 level a few months ago that we were seeing? So nowhere near it. The spread with the WTI has narrowed considerably, and that's the WTI is currently at $94 and 50 cents. Iron ore. This is still weak overall, weighing on these metals and weighing on these major mining shares. And companies such as RTZ and BHP Billiton, they're still producing the iron ore. And on one hand, they're hoping for a rally because demand will pick up. And on the other hand, that while that isn't occurring, they're hoping that they'll see more Chinese production in particular actually mothballed. And that would that would help the supply situation somewhat. But look at the price of iron ore. It's at $78.60, 78.60. Now, you go back to last December, and it peaked at 140, $140. So this is a massive decline that we have seen since December 2013, and it's still heading down. So there's no evidence yet that we've actually reached that final low. In currencies, well, the US dollar is really the pretty much the whole story. That remains quite firm overall. The euro still remains soft, although it's not actually down today. It's currently at 1.2690 against the US dollar. Sterling, which has also weakened against the dollar, is currently trading at 1.6242, so that's down slightly in here today. And about the only currency that's matching the US dollar is the Chinese renminbi, which is certainly interesting, not least as they well as China engineered a devaluation What was it, about 5 or 6 months ago? Okay, anything else here to mention? I think those are pretty well all the all the main points. So, all the very best to all of you.